There's still plenty of time for Josh's rockin' New Year's Eve. Okay. All right. Yes, that's right. All right. Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here with us. We're continuing our series here this morning on gifts from God. And to kind of go along with the theme of the week or the day or the culmination of all of our messages here this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 is what is going to be our text for today. 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And so as we look here this morning at this passage of Scripture, if you look back at the text, we'll see that this is pinned down some 60 years probably after the birth of our Savior. But I still believe that Paul is referring to this. There's a discussion amongst commentators on whether that is. And so that discussion on whether Paul is talking about the goodness of God, both to the giver and the receiver, is one of those things. Those that he gave so liberally to, and the others that received so largely. And this is talking about those in Corinth that needed that help. And we kind of looked at that of giving gifts last week. And it's all because of really the grace of God that it is a part of man to help out others. He powerfully inclines the hearts of his children to do good and offer so willingly of what he has given them. And so as we are reminded, it's we give of what we've been given. And so we're thankful and happy to share what we have. And what we have is just a portion to what the Lord has and what he has shared with us. Whether that is to help with the supply of the poor and of the needy. Perhaps it was the exceeding grace of God, which was so eminently and largely and freely bestowed on the Corinthians in their effectual calling. And so as we look at this, we're going to look at three things from this text that hopefully fits us not only for today, but hopefully that we carry on to each and every day of remembering our Lord and Savior. The first thing I want for us to share this morning is his gift is equal to our need. His gift is equal to our need. I believe in this text that it is Christ himself that is being talked about. I think you could probably find an argument that is talking about the people and the gifts that they have. But this gift that we are thanking God for, that Paul is just like somewhat stopped here in the middle of his letter and said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Some will say some translations say unspeakable gift. Some will say, as we use today out of the New American Standard, indescribable gift. One translation says the inexpressible gift. And I kind of like the Bible in basic English, for it just says words which have no power to say. And so it's just as Paul is sharing this idea, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That if I was going to stand up here for the next half hour and just say, you know, his gift is so, it's such a wonder. I don't even know what words would we actually use to describe it that would do it justice. And so that's where Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable, his inexpressible, his unspeakable gift. And so, you know, and we'll talk about that unspeakable here in a little bit. But popular writer from today's culture says if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. But God knows that our greatest need was for forgiveness, so he sent us a Savior. Now, I don't always agree with everything that this gentleman says that wrote this, but I do agree with that point there. That we needed a Savior. And as so many will be reminded of this day, in Luke chapter 2, and we'll reference a few of those verses as well, but one of the things that I do want for us to understand that this boy, this little baby in a manger in Luke chapter 2 is referred to as the Savior of the world. And he hadn't even been to the cross yet. So God's plan was from the beginning for this little one to be the Savior of all mankind. And been spending, as we know, we're getting closer to finishing up our Revelation series in the evening. And so sometime probably in March or April, we'll be starting the book of Hebrews. And so in Hebrews 5, it just over and over again talks about really Jesus putting on his humanity, putting on, leaving what we're going to talk here in a moment of that glory and the splendor of heaven and all those good things, really, as the text that we're going to look at says that, well, let's just go ahead and read it so that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you may through his poverty become rich." And so as we're looking at this and we're talking about the glory, the splendor of a king as we sing, I do appreciate those songs that we sing this morning, because how many of us, we all know like the first verse of those songs, and not that they're not good and not that they're not in depth and meaty, but it's when you get to that second and those third verses in some of those songs that there really shares the spiritual inclination and praiseworthy to our Savior. And so I appreciate being reminded of that. But as this text here says, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. What is that? He was the king of the world. And he gave it all up to become poor, the poorest of poor. And yet, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And so as we look at this, this is one of those texts where it intertwines the physical and the spiritual. Because so many times we will chalk it up to, well, we just don't understand it because it's a spiritual thing. Well, what it's saying here is, you know, we are king of the world, gave it all up to take on the form of a baby. I think we've made mention of this. I can't remember if it was here or if it was in one of our Bible classes, but so where this baby's going to rely on somebody to blow his nose. This is the king of the world. This is the Savior of all mankind that's going to need his diaper changed. Talk about learning obedience. That's where the Hebrew 5 thing comes in. Because, you know, and it was made mention in our prayer this morning, someone had made mention of, you know, how he you know, became the sinless person. Hebrews tells us that, you know, he had to work at that. Not that he had sin, but that he had to work at his obedience to the Father. And if someone that is sinless and perfect has to work at that, then how much more do we? Or let me leave you guys off the... How much more do I have to work at that? And so when we're then reminded of what Paul says, thank God for something I can't even really tell you about. These Christians, or these Corinthians here, were asked to give. They were cited to the example of Christ. And so in other words, when we want to use an example of living the way we should, who should we look to as our example? Jesus. We want to have an example of kindness, of compassion. Who should we look to? Jesus. And Paul is telling the church at Corinth the same thing here. If we want to look to and have an example of giving, look no further than Jesus Christ. But now Paul burst out in thanksgiving. He thanks God for his gift. And he says that language can't even begin to describe it. The gift, Jesus Christ and his gospel. It was that gift which was broken down the old enmity of sin and the law and bound together the Jew and the Gentile in love. We use an example for love. There is no greater example than Christ and his love. And he did that so that the Jewish Christians of that day would pray the same as the Gentiles, as they long for a Savior and long for their Lord. Thank God for this indescribable, this unspeakable, this inexpressible, this gift that no words can even begin to explain. We're all going to receive gifts here probably in the next day or so, and there'll be things that you'll be able to describe that. Well, that was worthless, right? Or maybe that was fantastic. See, we're gonna be able to describe it somehow. But this gift that we have, do you ever stop to consider and think back for a moment? Each one of us, as we, and maybe it wasn't this one, but it was a different. But think back to the moment in which you're raising up out of that dead man of sin, arise to walk in the new life. The thing that I've heard people say, and I've heard people say, hallelujah, or praise God, or the things I think I find that are probably the most accurate are those that come up and are like, because you don't even know what they're saying. And I think that fits more accurately what Paul is talking about here, is I can't even begin to describe to you and for you what God through Jesus Christ has done. And if it's just boiling down to this idea of giving, then he set that supreme example. The gift, Jesus Christ and his gospel, is the gift which was broken down, as we said, between the Jew and the Gentile in love. For those Gentile Christians, like those in Corinth. Imagine as the Jews were reading this letter. Wait a second. They received the same gift that we did? Yeah, go back and read Acts chapter 10. The Gentiles, the Jews, all on the same page. You know what? And I added to it, and that's why it's great that not just those at Corinth got that message, but those in Thailand, where the Miller family's at, they get to do that. Those in Uganda, right, where we got the group of gentlemen over there. Maybe it's in Zimbabwe, where the Hippo Valley missions are. Maybe it's here in Harlan. The very gospel that should be uniting mankind, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, is the very thing that splits groups and causes denominations today. Why is that? Because they're not seeking his glory, that's for sure. Which is our next point. It's always about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. You want to have the best holiday season that you can have? It's not about you. And I'm in a different stage of my life in this game that we live in, that it's not even about the grandbabies, as much as you may want it to be. It's not. It's always about Jesus. And so what am I talking about? Christmas? What am I? No, I'm talking about life. I'm talking about everything. It's always about Jesus. The Father made it all about Jesus. Though his Son, his own Son, his only begotten Son, the Son of his love, his Son and heir, yet he gave him to be a covenant to the people, the head of his church, the savior of sinners, and to be a sacrifice in their place instead. I thank God for his indescribable, his inexpressible, his unspeakable gift. Amen. Series of passages here that help to lay us through the scriptures that it's all about Jesus. Luke 2:14, we had already looked at Luke 2:11 this morning and discussed that, being a Savior born. But glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men who with whom he is pleased. Who's pleased? The Father is pleased. He's pleased to see the Son carrying out the task. This is just the beginning. This is just the birth. This wasn't when he had the opportunities yet to make his own decisions of right and wrong. This is him, remember, needing the diaper change, needing the nose blown, needing to be taken care of, needing to be fed. He still, because he left that glory and the splendor of heaven, and he put on the humanity, not of a king, not of a valiant warrior, but of a little baby. It pleased our God in heaven. First Chronicles, this is Old Testament, going back there, 16:18. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make his deeds known among the peoples. And so when we think of this, and I'm not downplaying this at all, and I don't want you to think that I am discarding the frailty and the humanity of our Savior when he came to this earth, because I already expressed some of that. But when we talk about a Savior, do we say, yep, he had to have his diaper changed? Do we talk about having to have his nose blown? Do we talk about how he needed to be swaddled in those blankets to stay warm? No, we talk about how he suffered in the garden, how he was persecuted and put to trial, and how he was beaten, and how he was stretched out on a cross. That's what we talk about when we talk about our Savior. Because that is just as important as the other information. The deeds that he has done among the peoples. Yes, he was born for all, so that all would listen to him. But he has died for all, so that all would come to live with him. 1 Corinthians 15:57, a verse that we used 1 year at camp. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because it's all about Jesus. When things start getting rough or going bad, just remember, It's not about me. It's not about my struggle. It's not about my hardships. It's all about Jesus. Which leads us to number three. I don't know how to do it any other way, but how Paul started off. Thank God. Thank God. Years ago when we had Earl Chambers in, he had a sermon entitled, Thank God for Jesus. Of course, you remember he was always used to drink the Diet Coke to make his voice crackle just right. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. And that's what we need to be reminded of this day. No one can tell how great this gift is, which is so suitable and seasonable, so large and comprehensive, nor declare the love of both the Father and the Son expressed in it. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests, that means makes clear, through us the sweet aroma of knowledge of Him in every place. Thankful we should be for it. And our thankfulness should be shown by a highly prizing and valuable this gift is. We do this by laying the whole stress of our salvation on Christ. Why? Because it's all about Him. Why is it all about Him? Because no one else can save us. And when I saw that phrase from a commentator, laying the whole stress of our salvation. I've talked with people, and probably you have too, that have stressed greatly about making the decision to become a Christian. Well, that stress pales in comparison to what Christ went through on the cross for us and leading up to that. However, that doesn't change the fact that there is stress involved in that, that we ought to count the cost, that there ought to be a conviction in our life. But then by ascribing all glory of it to Him, by giving up ourselves to Him and to His interests, by walking worthy of Him in all well-pleasing. As He learned to please the Father, so then we too learn to please Him. And by communicating to the support of His cause and how much He loves us. We'll end here this morning by sharing a conversation that was had by Jesus' parents and a man in the temple as Jesus was being taken there to have his circumcision done. And the gentleman's name is Simeon. And Simeon shares just a few great words. Remember, he had been given a promise by the Lord that he would live until he saw the consolation of Israel. Right? And that there would be a salvation that would come upon them. And so we're going to share just a few verses of that conversation. And here's what I want for you to do as well. Not the baby that Simeon grabbed, but the Savior that has changed the world. Luke chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Then Simeon took him in his arms. If you have the opportunity and haven't done that yet this morning, take Jesus in your arms. Embrace Him. Embrace all that He has given you. Life. He has given you every good and perfect gift that we are looking at. He has offered you salvation. All these things that He has given to you. Take Him in your arms and bless God for it. As he said, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. The only salvation that we have in this world is Jesus Christ. And it's not just, it didn't stop with the little boy in the temple or in the synagogue here. It all the way to the cross and coming out of the grave. This is where He is. Help us to see His salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. The Lord has not done this thing in secret. He has done this so that all may know. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And so much has changed since that day. Because now salvation is open to all man, Jew and Gentile alike. We are no longer seeking a babe in a manger or a small child in a house to whom we may worship. We are here to give our lives fully and totally to the Christ, who was on the cross at Calvary. And because of his love for us, he didn't stay in the manger and he didn't stay in the tomb. You look for him in either one of those places, he will not be there, for he is alive and reigning in heaven this day. People believe that he's going to come and set up his kingdom someday on this earth. That is totally foreign to what Scripture says. Those in Christ will rise to meet him in the air, and he is already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's serve him like he so deserves it. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, let today be your day of salvation. Let your day be the day that you finally understood that it's not about you, it's about him. And as you come up out of that watery grave, I don't know what you'll say, but it might be something like, ah! Which means thank God for Jesus. Believe in him. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And arise to be a part of his kingdom, to be saved forevermore, and live that faithful life for him. Because it's all about Jesus. Will you stand?